And you can check that out. Again, as I get it, more info on the Zapatista event that's going to be coming up here in the Inland Empire.
Take a couple of seconds. And a steam party, of course, coming at you every Friday night at 9 o'clock on Kill Radio, killradio.org, of course. Progressive politics, computer nerds, music, obsessiveness. Tonight, it's a special show because it's just me and Kyle MCDC here in the studio, plus whomever else shows up. But Kiss My Fist isn't here, so we're having a Guys Gone Wild super ultra manly butch special event. To get things started properly, in the background you can hear my good friend Luis Miguel singing fantastic wonderfulness in the background. When we come back, we're going to talk to you about what it means to be as manly and just powerful with our ballsness in the way that Kyle MCDC and I are. Anyway, if you want to communicate with us, our AOL Instant Messenger ID is Theme Party Radio. You can also call us at 213-252-0998. Anyway, Theme Party, of course, as you know, is the home of drunken fops and boozy dames, and as we always say, never be ashamed to let people see you enjoying yourself loudly. And to that end, as I said, here's my good friend Luis.
Que decirte y no sé cómo empezar a explicar lo que te quiero contar.
Sabes una cosa,
te quiero y te venero, te adoro y te deseo, cariño, ven y déjate amar.
Doy gracias al cielo por haberte conocido, por haberte conocido. Gracias al cielo y le cuento a las estrellas lo bonito que sentí, lo bonito que sentí cuando te conocí.
Sabes, sabes una cosa, que yo te quiero, que sin ti me muero si estás lejos.
Sabes una cosa, sabes una cosa.
good track record. They're taking the hurdles blind off at the crack of dawn with Virginia on my mind. I'm the man they call upon to drum up £1,000. Late Virginia can't brace me ready for the country roads inside a dressing gown. Any day now the adulterer will arrive in my suburb. Look at the door, the pretext to enter my habitat house. There are black cats in the sheets, I've been anticipating trouble. Next thing you know, we'll be swimming in ash in the sun. Next thing you know, we'll be giving her a piece of his mind on her back. Sweeping the ash in the sack. Isn't it good to know you got third party fire and theft? Used to be a well-matched wrestler, used to set the bed on fire. But I got high cholesterol and Virginia low tar. In the mirror I found a director, the bedroom's private star. The only thing in line for promotion though is Virginia's derisive laugh. Any day now the adulterer will arrive in my suburb. Next turn to my Charles Church house. There are number 10s in the sheets, I've been anticipating trouble. Next thing you know, you'll be sweeping the ash of my sack. Next thing you know, you'll be giving her a piece of his mind on her back. Sweeping the ash of the sack. Isn't it good to know you got third party fire and theft? Last call for the cock of the walk, he's first in line for the fist. The cufflinks don't suit fisticuffs and I can't afford to spray my wrists. So lift and curl from the wear and tear of Popeye Admiral's lies. Me and my old crowd and fat blank checks on our naked waiting wives. Any day now the adulterer will arrive in our suburbs. Look at the door, the Turek's to enter our Lola Ashley wives. The Marlboro Man's intervening in the sheets, anticipating trouble. Next thing you know, you'll be sweeping the ash from the sack. Next thing you know, you'll be giving us a piece of his mind on our backs. Sweeping the ash from the sack. Isn't it good to know you got third party fly? We'll be right back.
We're here. Kyle, how you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Awesome. People, you know who I am. But you might not know who's in the studio with me. It's, in fact, my manly and butch cohort, Kyle MCDC.
Along with our fearless leader, the eligible Ross Lincoln.
It's true. Not just fearless, but manful.
Well, fearful, if we're being
honest. It's true. Let's be honest about that. Before we talk about why manliness is so important to the universe, first up, the last song you just heard was Joan Jett, Bad Reputation. And that reminds me, there's a really good song by Reverend Horton Heat called Bad Reputation. Have you ever heard that song?
I think so.
It's from his first record. It's totally awesome, and I think I'm going to have to dig that out of the vault and play it at some point. Maybe even next week. Maybe we should do like a rockabilly theme one night.
Oh, I'd be down. I could bring Jimmy Ray.
Oh, my Lord. Yes, that would be awesome. We'll talk about Jimmy Ray. I think I actually have Jimmy Ray with me.
Really?
I might. I know
I can't find mine, but I'll look for it.
Word. Before that, we heard a song by Momus called Third Party Fire and Theft. That was from the Monsters of Love Creation Records compilation, which compiles a lot of Momus's material before he moved to Japan. Before that, we heard DMX Crew, the song Get With You. If you don't know who DMX Crew was, he pretty much invented the kind of music that was later called Electroclash, only he did it seriously. Basically, he was as early as 1996, he was doing like mid-80s influence pop music, or, you know, dance music. It's good stuff. The song is called Get With You, and we opened the set up with my good friend Luis Miguel. The song was San Sabrosa, and I love it so, not only because it's incomprehensible language as far as I'm concerned, because I barely speak Spanish, but so beautiful to hear sung.
Bésame mucho. Didn't Luis Miguel used to date Mariah Carey?
I believe he did.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a whole dress load of crazy there. Mm.
Well, the funny thing about it, it's like, why is it that there are all these like artists from Latin America and from the Caribbean, Mexico, etc., who make exceptionally awesome music as long as they're singing in Spanish, and the first time they try to have like an English language crossover, it becomes like the most watered down tripe you've ever heard. Like, American audiences can't possibly handle the way mariachi really sounds, or salsa, or something like that.
Like who?
I was thinking specifically of, and actually, and I'm not speaking, I'm not able to think of anyone off the top of my head, so my complaint just became crap.
Maybe you just hate Mexicans. Isn't that what it always boils down to?
It truly is. Well, the Mexicans and the Welsh.
Uh-huh.
Those dirty hill livers.
Oh, and when they have babies, the Mexicans. just keep them away from Ross.
The Melsh, actually.
Oh, the Melsh.
Right. It's kind of like how if a male lion and a female tiger have a baby, it's a liger.
Yeah.
But if a male tiger and a female lion have a baby, it's a tigon.
That's kind of sexist. I don't know how.
Look, I didn't create the taxonomical system. I just repeat it and use it as a poor metaphor for tonight's theme, which is, what is it, the ultra manly?
It's sexist as well. It's the ultra manly butch 2 hour
exactly.
Extravaganza.
DJ Kiss.
It's not very butch to say extravaganza.
You mean
manstravaganza?
Manstravaganza.
That's still.
It's mantastic.
You know what's great about the rise of gay culture is that we've really undermined and subverted everything that's been like thought of as a paragon of manliness.
Yeah.
So you can go too far in manliness and push it out the other direction.
Oh, yes, you can.
And become gay.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was watching, you saw the 40-year-old Virgin, of course.
I did.
Very hilarious.
I liked it.
I did too. I think it's really, really amazing. It's hilarious, but it's surprisingly touching too, and it treats its characters, blah, blah. I don't want to tell you why I love it. I want to talk about one specific element, which is the part where Steve Carell's character starts worrying about whether or not he's attractive. So he goes to one of his coworkers, and in an earlier age of American masculinity, he would go to his friend and say, "What can I do to be more attractive as a man?" And it would invariably involve something like, you know, go, you know, learn how to dress so that your dick is emphasized, or beat somebody up, or play a sport, or don't shave for a week. But this was, you need to get waxed.
Yeah.
And you're right. The gays have completely subverted the idea of masculinity, which is good for us, because neither one of us are paragons of manhood.
Yeah.
Except for tonight.
Well, you know, and so I thought probably to kick off this theme, our little investigation into manhood and whether we have it or not.
Oh, we got it.
We could explore what we think of as our most manly quality and our least manly quality. And Ross, I'll start with you. What's your most manly?
My most manly quality would have to be, bar none, my ability to drink scotch straight without ice or mixing it with anything.
It's pretty impressive. I remember not long after I'd met Ross, I think it was actually New Year's Eve. I went back to Ross's place, and Ross asked me, what do you want to drink? Some scotch? Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, sure.
No, I don't even think I told you it was scotch. I think I said, do you want a drink? And you were like, sure. And I just went and poured
two
glasses. Yes,
actually, that is what happened.
Yeah.
And I was still, I mean, how old was I?
You were 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty new to drinking because, as we all know, I was total square.
Of course.
I didn't start drinking until I was 21. But I thought, I can handle whatever. And he brought back scotch with ice. And I could not do it. I could barely even sip it. It's still very hard for me to do today. I can do it a lot better if I've had a couple drinks beforehand or if I leaven it a little bit with water, but I can't match Eligible's prowess on that.
No, I can totally, I can knock them. Well, you don't knock scotch back. You sip it very slowly and savor the flavor. And for the record,
burning.
Yeah, actually though, the burning is something. I mean, the burning is obviously very intense for new scotch drinkers.
Uh-huh.
However, you're going to get a much less palatable flavor when you drink a blended scotch as opposed to a single malt. So, of course, it's all mood if you're not a scotch drinker because it's all going to burn down the first couple of times. But when you get your palate used to it, you'll notice that the truly noxious stuff, the stuff that really creates the worst burning, is the single malt and the blended scotches. The reason for that is that they literally blend two different malts together, and they just use really young, young liquor to do that with. They open up the cask as soon as it's matured, which is after 3 years. Single malts are allowed to sit for much longer, and as a result, they're smoother and more robust. And enough of that.
I think what Ross is trying to say is he doesn't spit, he swallows.
Thank you.
Now, how did you develop this technique? Were you always good at the scotch, or did it take some time?
I learned at the feet of Todd Germain, who, if he's listening tonight, can take pride in the fact that he taught me how to drink like a man.
And how?
Well, Todd was
quickly.
Well, Todd was always like a much heavier drinker than us, and his favorite writer was Hemingway. And
sure.
As Hemingway fans often do, they decide they're going to go through a drinking phase.
Uh-huh.
Todd ended up working at a liquor store, which gave him a cut rate on alcohol, and sometimes he got stuff for free. So one day, he comes over to my house, or my apartment. This is back in college. He comes over, and he's like, we're just going to hang out and watch a movie. And he comes over, and he pulls out a bottle of scotch, and he's like, here, have some. And I start to pull it in, and I grab some soda out of the refrigerator. And he gets this look. He's like, no, you will not drink it watered down. So he made me, he sat me down and made me drink it, basically.
Uh-huh.
He put peer pressure on me.
He drink raped you.
He draped me, yes.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. There's nothing more.
And you just kept doing it? You kept like...
Well, I mean, after you get the first drink down, you're kind of like, that
well,
was
sure,
really
that
intense.
Night, but like, you know, then if you did it a week later, it was easier?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Basically, at first it started... I mean, scotch is really delicious once you get used to it anyway. But the fact that I could drink scotch straight and nobody drinks scotch, uh-huh, it sort of became a badge of pride, you know?
Yeah.
Like people who have like that one punk record that was released in 1979, and then the record label and the band broke up and no one's ever heard of it, and then they can brag that they've got it in their collection.
So if I just ball up and I break my scotch hymen, I'll never look back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, maybe. Scotch? I'll give it a try one of these days.
You should.
But you know, that is pretty manly, but...
Thank you.
To balance that out, what do you think is your least manly?
Everything else.
Well, I know. But come up with something just shocking.
Yeah, okay.
Pinky raised about.
Yeah, I'm trying... Thanks to the stupid metrosexual craze, I can't claim that my makeup wearing is my least...
You wear makeup?
Occasionally. Eyeliner from time
to time.
Oh,
well, yeah. But you know what? A lot of people wear eyeliner.
Well, that's my point.
Especially nowadays. It's very hip with the boys in My Chemical Romance and whatnot.
Yeah, but I was down with eyeliner back in high school when you still got beat up for it, just so you know.
Uh-huh. When you had a cape and a cane.
I did not have a cape, but I did have a cane. That story has been greatly exaggerated. Does knowing the libretto from the HMS Pinafore count?
That's pretty unmanly.
Let's see.
Still, it involves sailors.
That's true. It involves sailors. it's very popular with the Mo community.
Uh-huh.
My love of Oscar Wilde. But that's almost a cliche at this point.
Yeah, but you know, I can't remember if I talked about this on the show last week, but we went to a party, and we were like, where are all the gay guys here? Because it seemed like there were, seemed like there were a lot of gay guys. It
That's
was myself true. And Angel, who's another Oscar Jane writer, who's gay. And they had like posters up of Oscar Wilde and Fellini Satyricon playing.
Yeah.
And one of the guys had a Judy Garland drag act. And yet, they all claimed to be straight. I was extremely upset that they had appropriated all the tells, if you will.
It's true.
So, that sucks.
Well, but yeah, that's...
So, that, I don't know. Maybe Oscar Wilde is a new straight...
Well, that's
phenomenon.
The thing I want to distinguish. What they were doing... Because I'm not only am I probably gayer, but like more gay cred than them, because I've actually made out with men, unlike those posers. But in addition to that, there is like a difference between sort of a foppish... you know, effete man and gay culture. They bleed together, sort of, but the closest thing I can think of that bridges the gap would maybe be Morrissey before the last 5 years or so. You know, Morrissey in the 80s especially sort of had a very, like if you want to say that, like, the biggest pop band of the 80s that definitely, you know, swiped the gay card to the point where people were actually surprised to find that they weren't, in fact, gay. Depeche Mode, right?
Or Boy George?
Boy George is gay, though.
Well, I mean, but I mean... Oh, I thought you were talking about the fans.
No. I mean, like, I'm talking about people presenting... People, like, having a sort of, like, disposition and depression.
Oh, I don't really know. I wasn't really into all that stuff in the 80s. I guess I was too young.
Well, oh, the point is, those guys are stealing... Those guys crossed the line from being effete, foppish guys and went straight into, like... into gay drag. I mean that literally as a pun. They were dressing in drag, but they were dragged up as gay people.
Depeche Mode was?
No. Oh, Depeche Mode. Like, they had the makeup. They had the short little like rent boy haircuts.
I've never really paid any attention to them. So
well, later on, they got more a little less of that. But if you see them in their early career, when they have like perfectly smooth skin, they're very young, and they have the early 80s. Like, I mean, they look like Soft Cell.
Uh-huh.
Which, without the mustache, Soft Cell was definitely from the gay scene. And Depeche Mode's first primary songwriter was Vince Clarke, who is the main music songwriter from Erasure.
Uh-huh.
And he is a Mo. And he and the other guys from Depeche Mode had a lot of differences musically. And I'm pretty sure it had a lot to do with the fact that they were all straight and wanted girls. And he was... I have a low opinion of Depeche Mode's artistry, I think, although I do like them, their musical output. Point is, after he left, their first couple of albums, they were totally like, hey, what's up, DJ from Roseanne? DJ from Roseanne, you can actually maybe join in this. But they were totally like, pushing like the buttons of like, you know, wearing the leather jackets and having the rent boy haircuts and wearing a lot of makeup, but not like the gothy makeup or makeup for effect, but we're talking like makeup, you know, like bass and stuff to accentuate their features in much the same way that non-image makeup people are wearing makeup for.
I still don't think we've hit upon your least manly trait, which is funny.
What do you think my least manly trait is?
Oh, I don't really know.
That's a good point. Okay, we've covered
it's hard
my love
say,
of Gilbert and Sullivan, my love of like late 1800s British culture, the fact that I have experience kissing men, but that's really not... That's becoming the new bi-curious for girls thing, so it doesn't count either.
Not everybody in the Midwest is doing it, if MySpace is any indicator.
Yeah.
Oh, MySpace, I love you. MySpace is great because, you know, about half the time you click on a cute boy's picture, he will have, like, scantily clad photos or be gay. Works out fine for me. Anyway, well, we can go
maybe
back
my scooter.
To it.
My scooter would be the least manly thing I have going for me right now.
Although
you can die
feel
on
that
a,
way.
No, actually, I can die on a scooter. And every time some guy in an SUV drives past me and goes, says whatever, or laughs, or does whatever people who drive big macho cars do, all I can think about is the fact that I'm risking my life just to drive, and you are in a huge car that will kill
me. Yeah, no, that's ballsy.
Damn, I think it's not so much a single thing. I think it's an overall unmanly.
I'll talk about mine.
Yeah,
maybe
do
I'll
it.
Jog something
or
with you.
Aura.
I would like to say that I think my most manly trait is I have a hairy chest.
It's true.
I wear it with pride. I think that that whole waxing whatever or manscaping, I'm not a fan.
Oh yeah, Kyle MCDC and I actually have an ongoing debate about maintenance of the body hair.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not a fan of body hair maintenance for the most part, unless, like, there's something really excessive. Yeah, I think wear it with pride, man. That's what I have to say. As far as my least manly quality, you know, like I always feel like I'm kind of like the gay iconoclast. But one thing I'm really just not good at is most sports. I mean, there's some that I'm sort of good at. I'm really good at darts.
Yeah, you're good at all the
I'm a really fast runner. I was on some, you know, state teams for that. But
yeah.
As far as like, I don't know. Well, okay, I'm sort of okay at basketball.
Right.
Wait, what sports was I going to say I was bad at?
Well,
okay, I'm like not good at.
You're
not like super good at any of them.
Yeah,
but
you,
I can play a lot of them.
Well, you're about as good at sports as most unathletic heterosexual guys are.
Uh-huh.
You don't like football though, do you?
No, okay, there you go. Football.
Okay.
I'm not good at football. I don't really totally. I mean, I sort of understand it, but I'm bored by it.
Right.
I am a little bit more of a fan of baseball and basketball, but not all that much.
Right on.
I do remember one time, my sister was really big into softball. Like, played it all through.
Runs in the family, I see.
What?
You said your sister was really big into softball.
Well, yeah.
And I said, runs in the family, because softball
is. Kind of a cliche.
Yeah, softball's very notorious for. But your sister's heterosexual, so never.
Yeah. Anyway. So she played softball a lot as a kid, and I think I stayed away from sports because
right.
I felt like that was her domain, and when you're a twin, you always want to, like,
yeah.
stake out your own claim. But there was, it was sixth grade, and we were going to play baseball in PE. I didn't want to embarrass myself, so I asked my dad to take me down to the playground and throw some balls, and I try to hit him to see if I could do it at, you know, well at all. And so we got down there, and he throws the first ball to me, and I literally hit it out of the park. And
wow.
I saw this expression on my dad's face that I'll never forget, which is, oh my god, maybe I should have been teaching this twin how to play. But then I couldn't hit another ball to
right.
save my life.
I had a similar experience with my dad. My dad's like a big outdoorsman, loves to go hunting and fishing and all that stuff. And I get pretty bored doing that. I really can't stand being cold and out in the woods. And deer hunting is the worst because you have to sit in a treehouse and just sit still for hours, which is cool if you're like being a sniper, but not me. Anyway, my dad took me dove hunting once, which was, if you're going to go hunting, might as well kill the symbol for peace, right?
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel.
Dove hunting, it's so brutal.
Oh, it's awesome. So he took me dove hunting, and when I got really, and I had good aim whenever I got really zen, but, you know, that's very rare. Especially when I was that age and very nervous about everything. But he took me out to the woods, and we're stalking, looking for flocks of doves, and one flies up, and I just take a bead on one of them and knocked it, like, down. Like, just killed a dove with one little shot. My dad was like, damn! In whatever my dad actually says in those parts.
Uh-huh.
And it was all very enthusiastic about how well I shot. I could not reproduce that moment for the rest of the day we were there. It was very, very embarrassing for me.
Yeah.
But at least I had that to go on later, when my dad would be like, I know you can shoot. I've seen you do it. So,
yeah.
I did think of one thing that's really unmanly. I like shopping, and I'm really, really neurotic about my figure.
Yeah. That's definitely.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
I'm obsessed with not.
You're not neurotic about your figure in a bodybuilder way, because
no.
I know bodybuilders that are obsessed
oh,
with
yeah.
their figure. You're just, do I look fat in this?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's thin, people, thin.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new person here in the studio with us, a woman that I like to refer to as DJ from Roseanne.
Yo.
But before we talk to her, we're going to play some music. Kyle MCDC, you want to
come back and debate some more manliness?
Oh, yeah, when we come
with,
back.
You know, the added perspective of a woman.
And I'd like to ask.
Not womanly enough as it is.
Do you feel like talking about bathroom breaks when we come back?
I don't know what to talk about it.
I just want to mention it because it's hilarious.
While we're playing
yeah,
music.
Well, what song are you going to play right now?
I'm going to play Chicken Bay Back by the Bees.
Word. Ladies and gentlemen, theme party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
dark cloud hanging round me. Now there is only blue sky to surround me. There's never been a gray day since you found me. Everything I touch is turning to gold. So you can color my world with sunshine yellow each day.
There's a magazine called Sunset and a tape machine that won't let me ever forget this impossible moment for you. Let's take a map across your pillow and breathe the sky in through your window. I stay in the room and watch your books cave in. Maybe you're my inspiration. Just lead me to some new sensation. I'll make a little guy we can call our own. 'Cause there's a magazine called Sunset and a tape machine that won't let me ever forget this impossible longing for you. Fallout standing in the present, race our phantom. There's a magazine. There's a magazine. Oh, there's a magazine. Oh,
better take it to me. Take it to me. America, people keep on us in me by one big kingdom. But I ain't got none. Don't want to take it away from me. You gotta go on and fight one. One big kingdom now. They keep on us in me. But I ain't got none. Somebody take it from me. You gotta go on and fight one. One big kingdom now.
Yeah, there we go. We are back. It's theme party. Are you getting me, by the way?
What?
Are you getting me, by the way?
What do you mean?
Oh, my mic seems to be coming through a little.
I don't know. I don't have headphones.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. The point is, it is theme party, and the last song you heard was one of my personal favorite songs of all time. It was called Funky Kingston by Toots and the Maytals. Before that, Wilco magazine called Sunset. What album is that from?
It's actually a B-side.
Oh, wow. From which single?
I think. You mean what? What single did it appear on?
Yes.
I don't think it did. I think it's it's a rarity, rather.
Right, right. Well, it's an excellent song and a really wonderful choice.
Uh huh.
Anyway, before that, we heard Petula Clark, "Color My World," which, like half of the songs recorded between 1965 and 1967, has a superfluous sitar in it. I actually really like that song a whole lot. It's one of my favorite Petula Clark songs, but I do not really like how the sitar is used in pop music most of the time.
I wonder if I can trace that directly to George Harrison.
You can, in
but
fact.
But I won't trace that as a debit, because I love him.
No, absolutely. He actually should be applauded for having introduced the sitar into his repertoire, as it were.
Uh-huh.
But, I actually personally feel that it got overused, and a lot of people use, a lot of times things will come along that are just trendy, and the sitar was like the Moog of the mid-60s anyway. The difference, of course, is that I genuinely like the Moog, but maybe it's because it was an instrument invented for the kind of music that it ended up being played for, as opposed to the sitar, which is meant to be played much differently. However, I'll shut up and say that the first song was the Bees' Chicken Payback, which is a really wonderful song, actually.
Yeah, me and several of the ostriches from Ostrich Inc. At ostrichinc.com
right on.
Have long been harboring this desire to make a really grand entrance into a party, and the way we're going to do it is we're going to learn a very synchronized dance, and then when the time is right, go into a party, we'll be preceded by somebody who comes in with a boombox, puts it down, starts playing the song, and then, five or six of us will come in and we'll do a dance to this song. And then after it's over, we disperse. And it'll just be like, wow, who are those people? But of course, with a healthy sampling of parody. But we still want it to be sort of cool.
Don't forget about the matching tracksuits.
We'll come up with something. Whatever best serves the song. Anyway, that song by the Bees is what I'm going to nominate.
Right.
I just headed off at the pass an attempt by... all the straight guys in the group to make it Say You'll Be There by the Spice Girls. Wait, is that the one or it's the second single? I'm giving you everything.
Say You'll Be There.
I'm giving you everything. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's really it's
a cliche.
Mid-tempo and it's not very interesting. I didn't like that song as a single. I liked the first Spice Girls
song. I really like that song, but it's
really boring to me.
Well, it's a really big ripoff of Edwin Starr's She's a Bad Mamma Jamma.
Really?
Just as fun as she can see, which I think I might play that later tonight, but that's neither here nor there. It is theme party. It is now approaching, middle of the show, whatever. And tonight, of course, our theme is ultra-manly, butch, manful action. However, our manfulness has been somewhat diluted by the presence of a couple of ladies who may be back in a second. We'll talk about them when they get here. But now the male quotient rises again. Nick Name is in the house.
It's very manly.
Man, I'm actually drenched in Drakkar Noir right now. And I've grown my mustache out and I've got my shirt open down.
Don't think cologne is very manly.
Oh, no.
I've never liked cologne on a guy. I've never worn it myself either. I don't know.
Cologne.
I think, you know what? Maybe if you have like a bad BO or like a tendency mm-hmm. to get bad BO if you're nervous, maybe it's like a good defensive maneuver. But otherwise, my advice to men is to just go all natural.
Well, yeah, cologne was invented to keep, back when Europeans didn't bathe.
Uh-huh.
And it kept people from noting that they smelled like 40-day-old BO and 3 weeks of not wiping after they shit. You know, it's
uh-huh.
just...
Ew.
Yeah, well, it's true. Personal hygiene wasn't so good until like the 1700s, sadly.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, now we are, once again, two women in the audience, which means we've been emasculated, which I think is an interesting jumping off point where uh-huh. we need to go now.
There's recently been some emasculating on the national scale.
Oh, my Lord, yes. You need to go to Reuters and go to Reuters Pictures and just do a search for the president's memo. This is Wednesday when this happened, right? Yes, Wednesday. A resourceful and clever reporter or clever photographer for Reuters happened to be at the UN when Bush was there meeting with everybody. He was behind Bush. He zoomed in and took a picture while Bush was supposedly writing a memo to Condi. The memo is one of the most hilarious, hilariously emasculating moments of all time. Literally, it says, and I quote, "I think I may need a bathroom break. Is this possible? W." So why does the President of the United States feel the need to ask permission to go to the bathroom?
From Condi.
I know, from Condi, of all people. Well, you know what, last year...
His woman needs to tell him when he can go to the bathroom? I don't think so. Not if you're a manly man.
Not if you're a man. What's funny is last fall, before the election, Condi was at a party. And she was telling an anecdote involving George Bush, and she accidentally referred to him as her husband.
That was actually on Meet the Press that happened.
Oh, that was on Meet the Press?
It's on videotape and everything.
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
Meet the Press, a party, what's the difference?
No, it was actually reported from a party. That means she's done it more than once.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord. So do you guys think that's a Freudian slip on her part, or do you think it's accidental?
I think he just really never knows what he can and can't do, so he had to ask. But, it's a good jumping off point for our own stories of emasculation.
Oh, yes.
Which we definitely have.
Oh,
and
wait.
Actually, you know what?
We got a phone call.
And I think we're about to be emasculated right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, here comes a phone call.
Ross?
Oh, hey, what's up, theme party? Can
hey.
I help you?
It's DJ Kiss My Fist.
Oh, I know who
hey,
you
Hey, Kiss My Fist.
What's up, girl?
Are you on the air?
Oh, we're on the air right now.
Oh, yeah?
This is How's starting to going? Sound like conversations in circa 1890 when the telephone was invented.
Mm-hmm. Are you on the dictaphone, or...?
We're on the dictaphone.
We're
on the dictaphone because this is our manly show.
Oh, right.
So, you're calling in and you can't come tonight. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Well, I'm sitting in Century City in a ball gown right now, so...
Not very masculine, Kiss My Fist.
Yeah, not very masculine.
No.
Kiss My Fist.
Yeah, that's my bow tie at home.
Hey, MCDC's got a question for you.
Kiss My Fist, what do you think are the good masculine qualities in man that you look for?
Manly scent.
Manly scent.
What's a manly scent?
Well, cologne. Really nice cologne. Oh,
wow.
You know what I love?
Uh-huh.
A little belly, like a little beer belly on a lean man.
On a what man?
On like a lean man. A lean man with lean arms and a little belly. That's the best. I really think being in shape and muscular, that's, it's so, it's fall. I think, like, a good out-of-shape belly is the cutest thing on earth.
So basically, guys, if you're listening and you want to be Kiss My Fist Man, don't work out, and or at least don't work out on your belly region. Drink a lot of beer.
And slather yourself in cola.
Yeah, slather yourself with Ricard.
Kiss My Fist? I
no,
can think of so many guys.
Screw you.
Kyle and CDC and I just had a conversation on air about how much we do not like Cologne.
Oh.
Well, Cologne was invented to keep Europeans from realizing they need to bathe.
Yeah, but there's some really good, subtle, manly scents.
So what scents do you happen to like? Do you know any of the brand names?
I don't know what they're called. Just boys I've made out with.
They need to have a cologne called Boys I've Made Out With.
Boys I will make out with because they smell good. Yeah, you know. I'm trying to think what... Ooh, sideburns.
Do you like
sideburns? Yep.
A good set of sideburns.
Word. Do you like...
Like giant, your co-host?
Yeah, like your co-host?
Yes.
Or do you want, like, Chester A. Arthur sideburns?
They can be bigger.
So basically,
you
want...
You know what they say about a man with big sideburns, you know?
I have no idea what they say.
Really, Kiss My Fist wants to marry, like, a dissolute Civil War general. Is that
what
we're getting
at? That's what you want to marry. You want to marry a Civil War general. So what about an addiction to morphine or a habit for drinking absinthe? Do you like those things?
Oh! Kiss My Fist likes something in a man that's somewhat emasculating, which is what we're about to talk about. She really likes a man with a heart condition. Talk about this, Kiss
what?
My Fist.
Why do you like a man with a heart condition?
Okay, well, there's the sexy heart scar. I just feel that life is tough enough. Imagine going through it with this heart condition that makes you a little weaker. Really, there's lots of conditions that I can like. Also, the sexy heart scar is something that not everyone sees. So if you're privy to seeing it, it's like this secret, this like beautiful secret that you share.
I would like to have you talk to my dad about how beautiful heart conditions are.
I think I have
no, I, heart
DJ
scars.
Kiss Like This
I mean,
perfect
well,
man.
Yeah, no,
really?
Heart conditions too, yes. But
dick chain.
No, it's really not something to joke around about, I guess.
Kiss My Fist, are you attracted to Vice President Cheney at all?
Yeah, are you attracted to Vice President Cheney by any chance?
No.
He fulfills a lot of these requirements.
Didn't John Entwistle, though, have heart condition?
Well, he died of a heart attack, but I think that was due to coke.
No, he had a heart condition before that. He was actually on. He had nitroglycerin in his system too.
Oh.
Yeah, he was prescribed heart medication.
Mm. You know, Abner doubled it.
I mean, that feels a lot. Okay, potbelly, sideburns, heart condition.
You want to date my dad circa 1978? That's
no, I want to go back and I want to go back in time and date John Entwistle. Which yes, I would anyway.
Right. Right.
Oh, there's so many things, because I love the men, you know.
Oh, we know. Well, do you have any parting thoughts for our bevy of theme party listeners?
Do you have any more questions for me?
Anything?
Who's there at the studio?
Okay, what's the absolute what's the absolute unmasculine thing that you don't like?
Well, tweezed eyebrows.
You don't?
Well, no, it depends. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many things I like in men.
Is there a trend in men today that you don't like?
Is there a trend in men today that you don't like?
Picking up their cell phone when you're talking to them.
I would just like to apply
cell
that
phone,
to people.
Cell phone talking on dates.
Right. That's really
that's
a,
absolutely
a person
bad.
Thing
I don't
more
like
than
that.
A man thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you can call us back later and tell
us. Yeah, well, give us some thought and give us a call later. We've got to talk about some times when Kyle and CDC and I were both severely emasculated. And but we love you. Are you going to come out later tonight?
Sure. I mean, if we had, see, here's the thing. Like, we used to have a suite at this hotel. But we switched into just a plain old room.
Right.
But if there was a suite, I would have told, you know, everyone I know to come over and trash the place. But but unfortunately, that's no fun in just, like, a double room.
Yeah, no, that would suck.
You know, so I will be back in the right side of town.
Fantastic. We'll give us a call later on in the show.
Okay. I'll try.
Ladies and gentlemen, kiss my sis.
Bye.
Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Bye.
So we're talking about things that emasculate us.
Oh, yes.
I personally am emasculated by very small things, which is...
by it like that?
No, it tends to be when I'm out with somebody, say Anna, a friend of the show.
You mean MC17.
And, you know, I'll just be standing or sitting there with her, nothing said, and a guy will come up and try hitting on her. And it's like, how do you know that she's not with me?
Yeah.
Because, you know, these aren't smart guys. They can't read body language or nothing. I feel very masculine.
Well, perhaps they have had a gaydar installed.
I don't know.
And they've been able to sense. But then they might just be dicks.
It does tend to happen in Sherman Oaks.
That's when you have to pull a... Yeah, they're dicks. That's when you have to pull a George McFly and just push them down on the dance floor and be like, step off.
I'm sure that would go well.
And then afterwards, someone will say, hey, Kyle, I heard you laid Biff out. You should run for class president.
DJ from Roseanne, did you have something to contribute on the emasculation tip?
Men in tight clothes.
You don't like that?
That emasculates them?
Are emasculated. It's one of those things where it's like women can wear it, and it's... not. I mean, I don't mean like tight, because I think that's icky either way, but like, if men are wearing anything that's just the slightest bit clingy,
in what way?
I personally wear tight shirts sometimes, and very occasionally tight pants.
But I mean, I'm talking about like...
You mean like the skinny, like 1960s?
Like West Hollywood type, like those really, really tight mesh spandex.
I have some information for you about those West Hollywood guys that wear the tight shirts. May not be for you.
Really? You think?
But I do agree. I do agree. Like, yes, mesh anything, bad idea.
But I mean,
spandex
like,
anything, also bad.
Although I do have to say that...
Like, I see like straight guys wearing anything that looks... that resembles that, and I get turned off because I think it's like gay.
Well, because they're wearing gay drag, kind of like the party Kyle went to last week, where you just don't know, are they... I just have to say, you know...
Are they...
All right, well, I'm just saying, you know, we don't really have a civilization full of uniforms anymore, and most proclivities are legal, so you can't go to, like, the underground all-men's club circa 1890 and expect to find a bunch of catamites there. You can just go down the street. And we don't wear military uniforms, so you can't tell if somebody's, you know, into shooting guns. I'm just saying that how you dress and present yourself serves the same function that uniforms do. So, you know what? Don't send out fake gaydar signals unless you're part of some kind of weird military force that must send out fake gaydar symbols for espionage
and the funny
purposes.
Thing is, those are the guys who usually go and beat up gay guys. The straight guys who wear stuff like that.
Rossi, I want to hear your emasculation story.
Well, I do have a pretty bad one.
Give me the, you know, the brief version.
Let me set the tone for you. It's 1990 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the fall. And me and my friend Brandon the same night had met these two girls. They were older than us. One was 20, one was 19, Rachel and Allison. Rachel, the 19-year-old, and I hit it off like gangbusters, and she had her own apartment. So we start hanging out, and we start seeing each other. And let me tell you, it was pretty cool making out with the 19-year-old girl when you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
And
statutory.
Oh, my Lord, yes. It was so fine. And she was much better at making out than girls I'd previously made out with, so God bless her. But I was 16 years old, and I don't think she really realized that when she first started seeing me. I'm 16-year-old in girl years. For a guy who's 16 is like 12 in girl years, you know, as far as their
girls
maturity.
Are more mature.
Yes, and she got really annoyed with me and decided to handle it rather badly. Her friend Allison was getting married and wanted to have a little bachelorette party, and Brandon, my friend, was going to be her bachelorette party. So this one night...
He was
going to
be it or be at it?
He was going to be it.
Oh.
Her plan was to cheat on her. Her plan was to cheat on her fiance by fucking my friend Brandon.
Wow.
Well, the four of us were supposed to go out dancing that night. It's kind of funny because I was super grounded. The week before, I had wrecked my mom's car and was super grounded. I was not allowed to leave the house for anything fun. But somehow, I managed to convince my parents to let me leave because I told them I was going fishing. And for some reason, going and doing a manly thing that had nothing to do with girls or music was okay with my parents as far as they were concerned. So I had to stay the night at Brandon's because we were going to get up at like 5 in the morning to go out to the lake and fish. It was a lame lie, but it worked. I didn't realize that she was already thinking about dumping me. And the only reason she didn't is because they were afraid that if she dumped me, Brandon wouldn't come and hang out with him, and therefore they didn't know Brandon. If they had asked me, I would have said, no, Brandon's a dick. He'll stab you in the back if he can get away with it. Brandon would steal money from you if it wouldn't make him feel too guilty to do it, as long as he could justify it. He was a very shyster kind of guy. Loaded, too. So you can imagine the combination. Anyway, we go out. What I thought was going to be the night I lost my virginity, and I am convinced... No, I'm not convinced. I know for a fact that Brandon was in on it from the start. Because we're at his house, and he's getting some condoms out. Uh-huh. And I'm like, can I have some condoms? And he's like, no, buy your own. And I'm just like, why you got to be a dick like that? You've got like 40 condoms. Can I have a condom? No, I might need them.
He might use all of them.
I know. He was being really weird about it, though. Like, he just wouldn't give me a condom. And I don't know why. And maybe in his own mind, he was trying to get me to hint. Fuck him. Fuck you, Brandon. You should have given me a condom. I at least could have smacked her in the face with it later. I'm getting to that. So we go out. We go out and we go dancing. We go to this club called The Factory, which was like the new gay club that played the best music. It was awesome. I danced by myself most of the night. Brandon and Allison were making out, and Rachel was being a straight bitch. But you know how, like, when something bad is happening to you, you can kind of see it coming, but you're hoping that you're just reading too much into it.
Yeah.
You know, and you can just it's like staring at a car about to wreck into your car, and you could at any moment maybe take evasive action, but you just get frozen. Mm-hmm. Same thing with happening here. I was pretty sure that she was being a bitch because she didn't want to hook up with me. But I chose to believe otherwise. Like, maybe she's just in a weird mood. Maybe she's tired. Blah, blah, blah. So, no, that wasn't the case. She was a bitch all night. We finally go back to her apartment like 5 in the morning. And I'm thinking, Ross is going to get some sex tonight. I'm going to totally see a naked woman. And we get back, and I'm singing this to myself, by the way.
Part of the problem, maybe.
Yeah, probably. So we go back to her apartment, and Allison and Brandon, immediately, the minute we get in the living room, they start making out. And Rachel's like, come on, we better go in my room. And she says, come on, we better go in my room. I hear, hey, big spendit, spend a little time with me. And I'm very excited. And I'm thinking, okay, she's a mature woman that has her own apartment. Of course she has condoms. I don't need to bug Brandon. So we go in the bedroom, and we start making out. And I'm very much, I'd already seen her naked by this point. So I'm taking her shirt off. And she's like, it's weird. It's like she didn't have the courage to actually just dump me at first. So she does this thing where she pretty much lays still. She kisses back. But this is the first time this had happened to me. So, you know how, when something's happening, you're not sure it's happening. And you don't know what to say. Because you're afraid if you challenge it, it's going to be true. And then...
And if you really want something, you'll come up with any way to rationalize
bingo.
Something that might not be happening.
Precisely. So, we're making out. But really, I'm kissing her, and she's kind of responding, but she's keeping her arms and legs decisively non-groping. And
oh, no.
Finally, I start reaching for the boobies, and she's like, I think we need to talk. And it was just like, yeah, I know. It was like she was the CEO of You're Gonna Get Laid Incorporated, and she just came into my office and was like, you know, I think we need to lay you off. We've got some cutbacks in our funding, and we're really sorry we have to do this so close to Christmas, but... So I'm just like, oh, no! And she's like, I don't really think I want to see you anymore. And she's like, you know, you really annoy me. And I didn't think,
oh, yes. Damn.
And I'm in her bedroom like, information I could have used like 4 hours ago. You know, that was not exactly how I phrased it, but...
Still had a Woody.
I was incredulous. I was just, why did you not say anything to me earlier? She's like, I don't know. I guess I just didn't know how I was going to feel until we got back here. And I'm like, what? It's like, I knew how I was going to feel yesterday because I thought I was having sex tonight, you know. And she's like, and I'm like, why did you do this? I'm actually mad at her. I'm like, I'm not yelling at her. We're having a very quiet conversation. I'm very calm. And I'm like, so why did you do this to me now that I'm stuck here? And she's like, well, look, I mean, you can deal with it. I mean, I had to go through it. And I'm just like, what? And she's like, my date dumped me when I was at prom, and I had to stay in the hotel room the whole night. So if I could do it, you could do it. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
And I'm like, and this came, I'm like, well, can't we just make out for the fun of it tonight? I mean, we're stuck in here. And she's like, no, I don't think that'd be a good idea. And I was just like, yeah, no! And I get up, and I'm like, fuck this. I'm sleeping in the living room. I open the door, and Brandon is doggy style with Allison in the other room.
God.
And I'm just like, no! And Brandon's like, what are you doing? Get out of here! So I have to shut the door. And I turn around, and I'm just like, ugh. And by the way, I was very quiet at this point. I wasn't making a scene. I was just like, oh, I'm going to go in the living room, you know. And I turn back around, and I start to move back over to the bed. She's like, you know, I think it may be better if you slept on the floor. So
Damn,
I had to sleep
harsh.
On the floor, And she immediately just rolls over, not even wanting to talk to me. She's like, I don't really feel like talking to you. You know, this is just not fun for me. And I'm just, I mean, this is happening, and I'm incredulous. And I swear to God, I'm not, for once, or for rarity, I'm not embellishing. This is actually happening. I sit down on the floor, and I lay down, and I'm just like, and she won't turn. Let me have a flashlight so I can at least read something. So I'm just wide awake in her fucking bedroom. And I hear of the couch bed in the living room, and I'm just like, and I hear her be like, "Oh, Brandon!" I'm just like, "No, you bastard!"
That's terrible.
Yeah,
that's cinematic.
Yeah, the next day we had to hang out with them till 5 p.m. because Brandon and Allison
still.
Yeah, I didn't have a car then. Remember, I wrecked my mom's car the week before, so she was taking my car. So yeah, I had to rely on Brandon for transportation, and Brandon didn't seem very sympathetic to my plight since he had gotten laid the night before. He and Allison were all, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what I found out 6 months later? And it has haunted me ever since. Brandon and Allison and Rachel had a three-way.
Wow.
Yeah. That motherfucker. Oh, I was so mad when I found that out. And I was already mad at him because I was pretty sure that he had had a thing with Rachel. And word had trickled back, and our friendship, because of the way he acted that weekend, because I was so humiliated, our friendship sort of...
What a story. I feel like I really got a puzzle piece there.
So that's it. That's the most emasculated I've ever been.
All right. Well, it's time to ball up. And
I think
that means it's time for Kyle's Corner.
Oh, it is Kyle's Corner time.
Yep.
Do you have a particular song you're going to lead off with?
Yeah, it's going to be Blur. I think you'll get the hint of, you know, what the pattern is here.
Word.
I'm going to start out with Charmless Man.
Awesome. Theme party, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
Crowded room where people go to drink away their gloom. He sat me down and so began the story of a charmless man. Educated the expensive way, he knows his claret from his Beaujolais. I think he'd like to have been running Craig, but then nature didn't make him that way. He went na 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 na. He thinks he's educated, as those family shares will protect him, will respect him. He moves in circles of friends who just pretend. You put it all together, there's the model of the charmless man. Na 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 na. He knows the swingers and their cavalry. Says he can get in anywhere for free. I began to go a little cross-eyed, and from this charmless man I just had to hide. At speed, he gets no sleep. He doesn't see his days are tumbling down upon him, and yet he tries so hard to please. He's just so keen when you to listen, but no one's listening.
it so loud, baby, it's the guitar man. Who's gonna steal the show? You know, baby, it's the guitar man. He can make you love, he can make you cry. He will bring you down, he will get you high. And something keeps him going miles and miles away to find another place to play. Night after night, who treats you right, baby, it's the guitar man. Who's on the radio, you know, baby, it's the guitar man. When he comes to town and you see his face, and you think you might like to take his place, something keeps him drifting miles and miles. For the songs to play, then you listen to the music and you'd like to sing along, and you want to get the meaning out of each and every song, and you find yourself a message and some words to call your own and take them home. You high, and he will bring you down, he will make you cry. Something keeps him moving, but no one seems to know what it is that makes him go. Then the lights begin to flicker and the sound is getting dim. The voice begins to falter and the crowds are getting thin. But he never seems to notice, he's just got to find another place to play.
Taxman, yeah, I'm the 'cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
What? Who said what? Yeah.
No, I did.
It's a theme party. Kyle, MCDC.
Sorry about that.
Being assaulted by my fellow co-host, Ross Lincoln, in a show of manliness, I'm guessing. So, you just heard Kyle's Corner. I started it off with Charmless Man by Blur, followed it by Guitar Man by Cake. Then Tax Man by George Harrison, and finally Monkey Man by The Specials. No theme there.
That song was incredible.
Thank you. That's good to hear.
Actually, when he said it was Monkey Man, and I just heard some guy talking, I was afraid it was going to be the Rolling Stones song Monkey Man. But thank the Lord it was not the Stones, because we here at Theme Party have one overriding truth that we say all the time, and it is that the Rolling Stones are the most overrated, respected band of all time. Am I right? Can I get a witness?
They're definitely somewhat...
They're a good singles band, but they are a shitty album band.
I kind of agree.
Thank you.
Here, let's trade places.
All right, I get to be Eddie Murphy.
So,
of course tonight, as you know, it's our Manly Butch show. We've got some more people here in the audience. Now the tide has turned. We are now completely emasculated.
We do have a lot of girls, but we do have one more guy, and I think we're ready to...
Oh, I agree.
You know, plumb his manly depths. That sounded weird.
Yes. How about we don't do that?
Let's get to the root.
We want to ask you, nickname, the questions that we were asking ourselves at the beginning of the show, which are, what is your most manly quality, and what is your least manly quality? So go.
Okay.
Do it. What's your most manly? Start out with that.
That was a little more, but I'll start out with my, I think I have two that are my least manly.
Okay.
Maybe you guys can decide which is less manly.
Okay.
First of all, I do have a regular yoga class and a regular Pilates class.
Pilates is a little less manly.
I would say yoga. Yoga would result in you getting some from hot yoga girls, so that's kind of manly.
I just take it to make my abs look fabulous.
Yeah.
So I think that in itself is pretty.
Well, I think it's also the contortions of Pilates.
Yeah, you did say fabulous.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of fabulous, did you click that link I posted to the talent show? The cartoon?
No.
It was a parody of Master of the Universe where Prince Adam is singing the dance disco version of What's Up.
Huh.
And I try. Anyway, go on. Fabulous secret powers. You know, that's what he said at the beginning of Master of the Universe.
Did you have a little twinge in your manliness when you decided to take this Pilates class?
Oh, yeah.
Did you not tell people?
Right on.
No, I think you... few people in this room are probably the few people in the world that know outside of the people in my class. But yeah, it is very emasculating.
How represented is the male gender at these classes?
Actually, I'd say it's about 20-25% male. But if you saw that crop of men, they're not they're not the model of masculinity. I'll say
So you're representing?
Yeah.
Keep the torch burning.
So what about the most manly thing?
The most manly thing, I don't know. I'll say, I consider myself pretty good at sports. You guys all know MC 10-piece chicken nuggets.
Oh, we know.
hetero life mate / writing partner.
Uh-huh.
And we've always had this sort of competition of, you know, like who's like the alpha male in our relationship.
Oh, it's 10-piece MC nuggets.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Well, I beg to differ after you hear this story. We decided we were going to have a weightlifting contest to decide once and for all who is the most manly of us.
Already manly.
I'd like to run you two through a decathlon, but continue.
I would have been all for that, yeah. But, you know,
a multi-sport event.
Right, right. And I think in the future we should hold something like that.
Agreed.
Okay.
But anyway, we had a weightlifting contest, and he was really cocky the entire month. We had like a month build up
wow.
to the contest so we could both like work out. Just really cocky. We got to the weightlifting guy. We did this at 24-hour fitness, you know, where there's all these big buff people and girls walking around and everything like that.
You did this in public?
We did this in public, yeah. We
wow.
don't have benches at
That's
our house.
Good.
That is manly.
No, it should be done in public.
Yeah.
That's manly.
And so I benched, you know, whatever it was. I think it was like 200 pounds, which is, you know, I have to say it's a decent amount.
Right.
Then MC 10-piece chicken nuggets did. The bar plummeted immediately to his chest. He was like gasping for air like a fish on dry land, you know, and I had to help him up. It was probably the most masculine moment of my life.
Wait, let me get this straight. You guys went to a workout place in public, sweating in proximity to each other, and you spotted him.
Yes.
Somewhere
it was fabulous.
That's the most manly thing I've ever heard. And I mean in the classical Greece sense, too.
Well, so right. Did you feel, I mean, because you have a very close relationship with MC Nuggets, did you feel like some sort of tide had turned there?
I always thought I was the alpha male in the relationship,
okay.
So in my mind, no tide had turned, but that really did cement.
Well, you definitely put your foot on his throat there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats. Thank you.
You know, being the alpha male, it's full dominance.
It's true.
Who's the alpha male in the theme party?
I don't know. I think Kiss My Fist. Yeah, Kiss My Fist is the alpha male. I'm the alpha female, I think. If there is such a thing. Never mind. That joke just sucks. The point is, Kiss My Fist is definitely the alpha male. And I don't know what... I guess the beta male, there's no such... Is there such a thing as a beta male? Has anyone ever actually said that?
I don't know what that would mean.
Would be the second, right? But would that be more of a worm tongue kind of assistant? Worm tongue from Lord of the Rings. What kind of nerd are you?
I don't like those movies. And neither does Nickname.
I was, right. You know, Worm Tongue's a character in the book, too.
Yeah, whatevs. I didn't read the books. Yeah.
Pretty manly.
I feel like, you know what? Actually, I do feel manly when I diss Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Because it is such a kind of, like, nerdy thing. I feel like... Because I am a nerd, full-fledged. When I stayed up yesterday, I was supposed to go to poker at 8 o'clock. But I'm like, I have to wait until the new Nintendo system controller is revealed at Space Worlds in Japan, which happens at 8 o'clock. So I waited and waited on the internet until I could read all about it, and then I went to poker. But so, yes, I fully admit that I am a nerd. But when it comes to Lord of the Rings, I feel like that is my opportunity to kick sand in the faces of nerds that are beneath.
I'm down with that. Lord of the Rings is Lord of the Rings is what spawned every fantasy series and role-playing. So, you know, in a sense, by dissing Lord of the Rings, it's like going back in time to the primordial, prehistoric nerd and stopping him from existing.
I'll really have to give up that World of Warcraft addiction I don't have.
And I've got to actually get rid of my EverQuest avatar that I haven't created yet, but I will, just so I can get rid of it. So I can be like, I quit that shit yesterday. Good times. So yeah, hi.
Now, you know, I do have a manly... Let's hear it. When it comes to movies, I am really into action movies and not
Me
so
too.
Much the fantasy or sci-fi or romantic comedy, whatever.
That's probably for the best. Which action movies do you like the best? Do you like the 80s campy action movies where tons and tons of gratuitous violence starring a Republican actor? Or do you like smart action thrillers starring from the 60s and 70s, starring soon to be dying of lung cancer Hollywood stars of old like Steve McQueen?
Both, I think.
Ah, good call.
Yeah, I think I have a masculine taste in movies.
Yeah,
I do like a lot of foreign films, though. I don't know.
That's true. That's pretty pretty wussy. I actually like a lot of romantic comedies.
What? Okay, so what is the romantic comedy that would most necessitate you turning in your man card? Beaches?
No, God, no. Beaches isn't a romantic comedy.
Well, I don't know.
Beaches is a drama that causes even men to ovulate.
Romantic drama.
Yeah, no, I don't like romantic dramas. I can't think of a single one that doesn't make...
What's the most feminine movie you like?
Ooh, good question. Let's see. I really like Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I like that movie, too. Yeah.
Does the Philadelphia Story count?
No.
Damn. That's a... let me think.
We need, like, a real guilty pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yeah, I don't like that movie.
But it's
well, what about you, Kyle MCD?
Yeah,
what's trying your to think. Least masculine movie that you're?
I don't know.
Right. Okay. What's the most manly album you have in your collection, and the least manly?
Most manly album I have,
or manly artist?
I don't. I don't know if that really reveals anything, because we all know that I'm like the rock and roller of this group.
That's true. That's true.
I'm all about the crunchy guitars and the bordering on heavy metal bands.
That's true. So what's the wimpiest?
What's the most feminine? What's the wimpiest?
The least manly.
Good question.
Male artist in your collection.
Oh, male artist.
Yeah, you're not allowed to pull Katie Lang or something like that out.
Well, I don't have Katie Lang.
I know you don't, because you have good taste.
I don't know. That's a good question. Hmm. I mean, you know, as far as male artists go, I don't think I really can represent there. I have, like, you know, Cyndi Lauper and whatever.
So here's a
but only Goonies are good.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I think I have to say, I can, in my CD collection, and I've told you guys about this before, I think I represent in equal parts both really hyper-masculine and embarrassingly, like, effeminate.
Yes,
music.
Yeah. Name
no, your record collection is a lot like Kiss FM.
Yeah, it's quite bipolar.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, on the very masculine side, I have a lot of really bad music. WWF,
right.
The music volumes like 1 through 6.
Wow,
what kind of stuff do you find on those compilations?
You find a lot of really just bad sort of like late 80s sounding metal.
Yeah,
a lot of like guitar riffs and like really
is it like not even name bands but kind of like the Vaughn's equivalent, like not Limp Bizkit but Nimp Chisket.
No, it actually would be like Limp Bizkit. Like Limp Bizkit does appear on several
basically if you want to form one of those bands, you have to take some dumb sounding name and then give it like a Shakespearean spelling. You know how like the band Trapped is T-R-A-P-T?
Yeah.
I'm wrapped with whatever, you know.
And then on the effeminate side, I mean, there's a whole laundry list there, but
right.
Take That, the band Take That, the Robbie Williams.
Robbie Williams is pretty manful, though.
I own that album. A lot of, like Salt and Pepper, I have, like, 2-3 of their albums, and Mariah Carey, and...
See, now, I know you have early Mariah Carey, but I venture to say, and I think you'll back me up on this, current Mariah Carey is too butch for you. Am I right?
Yeah, unless she did a duo with Fred Durst and brought him the other end of the spectrum.
But she actually started chain smoking, and she brought her. But she now sounds like B. Arthur. So,
yeah.
So do you think that? We're obviously talking a lot about this sort of bizarre cliches of being a man. Do you think those cliches are a reaction to femininity, or is it something that guys would do even more so if they were left to their own devices?
You mean, like, do you think the women's movement is, like, polarized guys and they feel like they have to represent?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question, and one that obviously the answer probably no, since guys were way manlier, horribly manlier. But the obsession we have with manliness, obviously...
I think that's, you know, it's like the fertile question that culture's investigating right now, because mm-hmm. we went through a whole phase of determining what it means to be a woman, and we're still figuring that out.
Shania Twain had a lot to say about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But
also on,
you know,
that CD, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Women are very communicative of that, and
right.
men have not always been. So now kind of like the impetus in the culture is like, okay, so now men, who are you?
Well,
and like I said before, a lot of gay culture really subverts a lot of what we traditionally think of as like really manly.
Yeah.
Like if you hear like the name like Rock Stone, you think male gay porn star. You don't think manly man.
Well, I was going to think or pro wrestler. Which is almost pro wrestling is all like
similar.
Softcore gay porn.
It
is interesting that in eras prior to the one we live in now, defining yourself as a man usually involves some external act, like, you know, going and, you know, ethnically cleansing somebody in another country, or, you know, getting scars all over your body, or being able to grow like awesome chops, which makes me a man. And now we no longer have, thankfully, the emphasis is less on like external demonstrations of your manliness and more like inward, which comes back to what the conversation we're having right now, which is what does it mean? Because in prior eras, women were prevented from exploring the world in any meaningful capacity, except very rarely, and so being a woman meant a lot more personal introspection, and men are now experiencing that culturally for the first time, maybe. What do you think of that?
Totally.
I know, I tried to get a lot of information out there really fast. I could, instead of babbling, we could go play some music.
Yeah, that's how about it.
Hell yeah. I actually have a song that I want to play right now.
Do it up.
Rolling Word. This is by far the least manly song that I could possibly select at this moment in time, but it's actually my favorite Michael Jackson song. And as you all know, I adore Michael Jackson before he became some kind of weird parody of manhood. Where is that remote control, good sir?
There it go.
Thank you, sir. This song is from the Jacksons album Destiny, and it's called Blame It on the Boogie. Theme party.
I just can't control my feet. I just can't.
I just can't control my feet. Sunshine, I don't blame it on the moonlight. I don't blame it on the good times. I blame it on the boogie. I don't blame it on the sunshine. I don't blame it on the moonlight. I don't on the good times. Blame it on the boogie.
manfully we return. It's Theme Party. I, of course, am the manful Ross Lincoln, and with me is Kyle Mann DC.
Ugh.
The last song you just heard was Cyndi Lauper.
That kind of broke
the speaking of manfulness, the song from the Goonies soundtrack, Goonies Are Good Enough.
It's a really good song.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
It really, it's genderless for me. It reminds me of being a kid.
It's true. And it's got Captain Lou Albano in the video.
It does.
God bless
that
man.
Like the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, which I kind of intend to buy.
He was Mario. And before that, we heard DMX Crew. Second DMX Crew song of the night, but I'm kind of in a mood. The song's called Street Boys, and I love it so. Before that, we heard a song from a CD called The Sound Gallery. The song is called Life of Luxury. And we started the set off with the Jacksons from their 1978 album Destiny. The song was called Blame It on the Boogie. And we are back, and I want to remind you of a couple of things. First of all, of course, Theme Party will be coming to an end rather shortly, but we will be putting this episode up online. We'll be sending an email out. But if you want to remember, radioforall.net is where we've been podcasting. This week's show may be podcast out of there. It's possible, maybe from some other location. You will receive an email. If you want to join our mailing list, send an email to themeparty@gmail.com. Of course, check out our MySpace account for the latest stuff that we might or might not say. It's myspace.com/themeparty radio. And I want to remind you all, of course, we are still online for the next 10 minutes. You can IM us at Theme Party Radio. That's our AOL Instant Messenger ID. And now that I've gotten all that off my head, Foreskin. Foreskin is quite possibly one of the most defining things of manfulness. For those of you who don't know what foreskin is, it's like a turtleneck for your dick that they cut off of you when you're born.
So would you say it's more manly to have it?
It depends. Depends on the culture, really. Foreskin, of course.
You don't have it, I'm assuming.
Oh, hell no. No, my
name.
I don't have it either.
Yeah, it's because we're all Americans, and they pretty much whack that shit off as soon as you're born.
There are some that do.
It's rare, though. What happened is in the 1890s, there was this big mania about self-abuse, a.k.a. choking the dick, masturbating, etc., whatever you want to call it. People were freaked out about it, and it became sort of a, you know, common knowledge that circumcision decreased sexual feeling, which of course, or sexual desire, which of course is definitely not true.
Even if you cut off the dick, somebody would stick a cucumber in there and jerk it around.
Please, God, don't ever let that happen to me. But yes, absolutely. It takes a lot more than cutting the foreskin off to stop masturbating. But after about 10 or 15 years of this, by the time you get to the late teens, early 1920s, the cultural opinion has changed, and though people don't really talk about it, it's now considered not that bad for people to masturbate. But by this point, everyone's been circumcised, and now it's a cultural norm. So the next justification they came up for it, and this one's a little more sound, is that it's more not having to think about it, sanitary.
Yeah, it's supposedly unclean.
And technically, yeah, there is a lot more soft, warm wetness to get like all mucused up and this and gross. My philosophy on that is if you aren't pulling the shit back and washing thoroughly in the shower, you've got problems that can't be helped by cutting your foreskin off.
So, Rossi, if you had a kid, would you circumcise him?
Well, I've been thinking about this. Now, for a long time, I was like, yes, I will not have him circumcised. It's mutilation. I want that however much sensation is supposed to be in the head of the penis before circumcision. I wish I had that. However, after doing an unscientific poll of every girl I've ever met in the history of being Ross, I have decided that for my son's sexual well-being, he will be circumcised as soon as possible. Ladies, would you like to weigh in on your opinion of turtleneck versus V-neck?
Either.
Have you had either? She nodded for the record, by the way. So there was no palpable difference there.
Well, most of my sexual history involved condoms, so.
But you know, seeing it, touching it, other things besides fucking. I mean,
yeah, difference. But I just don't care.
Oh, okay.
That's very open-minded.
What about the aestheticness of the man parts? Do you think that it looks better circumcised or uncircumcised?
I would kind of be inclined to say circumcised, except I kind of get bored with seeing the circumcised. So it's kind of like the shock of the new.
So let's just say that Monica's seen enough cock that she can get ennui about it.
Yeah, that's
it. I personally say Uncircumcised looks really bad when it's flaccid. It just looks really weird.
Yeah.
Like wearing a hat.
It looks like a mushroom from the Koopa Kingdom.
I just want to say.
But when it's circumcised, everybody looks the same. You can't really tell if it's...
When it's erect.
When it's erect.
Yeah.
You can't tell if it's circumcised or not.
Yeah, no, that's supposedly the truth. What about the other ladies?
That's the truth. You know it.
You're right. What about the other ladies?
I don't know.
Lady T, what do you think?
I prefer circumcised. Thank
Lady
you.
T, have you encountered uncircumcised?
I have, and it
do
was
you
fun.
Remember? Do you remember the first time you saw it?
Yes, it was an experiment for science. My friend and I called it.
I bet.
And you know, we watched him like kind of play peekaboo. Now you see it, now you don't. Now you see it, now you don't. And
where did this take place? What's going on?
Yeah, it didn't take place at the college I went to.
I was in my 20s. Yeah, no, the boy was in college. He was like 19. He was kind of crazy. But you're right. Once it's erect, it's like no big deal. But when it wasn't, it was really kind of funny. And we poked it.
You know, Lady T is on something. The uncircumcised dick is quite a party novelty in college. I remember a roommate of nicknames named Red. Got a lot of mileage out of having an uncircumcised dick because whenever it came up in a party, a girl would want to see it and they would get to it.
Wow.
That's exactly what happened. Except it was a party of three.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody throwing that in my face. What? Damn you, God! No, I already damned him. But seriously, aesthetically though, do you prefer you do prefer the look of the circumcised?
Yes.
Okay, well there you have it. One for not caring, one for preferencing. I will state that Lady T's opinion is pretty standard from what I've heard. Nickname.
Would you circumcise your son?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you have any qualms about it, or would it just be like an easy choice?
Yeah, I might have some qualms about it. I mean, I'm sure it's not a pleasant experience.
But if it happened so early, what's pleasant at that stage?
No, I don't think so. I'd circumcise my kid.
You know, I mean, I guess I see the point, like the whole genital mutilation thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't think it's a bad thing in Africa to, like, cut off all those girls' clits.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see what it's like, ladies?
Well, I think the difference between clitoral circumcision, quote-unquote, and male circumcision is that male circumcision does not render your dick incapable of producing an orgasm for you. And clitoral circumcision effectively renders a girl neutered except for receiving male cum for creating babies.
Rossi, have you ever seen an uncircumcised one?
No, surprisingly.
Really?
Not
even, like, in pictures or
what? Well, obviously in pictures, yes.
Have you? What pictures?
I can't remember. Porn? There's some 1970s porn that my friend Neil and I, when Neil and I were in 6th and 7th grade, we discovered his grandfather's massive Raiders of the Lost Ark-sized collection of pornography.
Wow.
And it was like a collection going back to the early 70s. We were like Wii and magazines like Wii and Swank and stuff like that. Some of the older ones had uncircumcised men in it. Like, the ones that were trying to go for the sassy European porn, they would always have uncircumcised guys in it. And it just looked kind of... It was weird, because when it's not erect, it doesn't really look like a turtleneck so much as it looks like a straw hanging off the end of a dick.
Kind of.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess at the time it was just like, that's weird. You know, when you're a little kid, whatever is the norm, you just assume that that's what's right.
Yeah.
My parents, I remember when I was in 7th grade, this guy Randy Wadley, he would always try to embarrass me, not realizing that my parents were always very frank with me, so it was difficult to embarrass me. I would just play dumb because it was beats getting picked on. But he tried to embarrass me in class by asking me if I was circumcised. And,
in class?
Yeah, in English class. He was a dick. There are other stories we will tell about Randy Wadley later. But he was kind of a dick, and he tried to embarrass me in English class by asking me. He was like, "Say, Ross, are you circumcised?" And I was just like, whatever. You know, I ignored it. But he took the whatever as Ross is gentle and got embarrassed. And it was funny as hell because he said it again, and he said it so loud that everyone heard him. And the teacher was like, "Randy Wadley, go to the principal's office right now. I'm fat and have a beard and imperiously and order you to leave." And Randy left, and later in the day, he had to come up to me, and he's like, "Oh, Ross, I want to apologize for what I said to you in class." This is the same guy who the next year in school said, "Hey, Ross, you know what a blowjob is?" And I'm like, "Yes."
Wow, this guy's really leading.
Well, I was like, Right. And I'm like, yes, it's when somebody sucks your dick. And he's like, and he literally, sincerely got this incredulous look on his face. And he's like, whatever, it's when someone blows on your dick. God, idiot. Oh, and I laughed at him, and I was like, you are so wrong. And I'm going to go back to my Raiders of the Lost Ark porn collection tonight. Da-da-da-da! So, yes, long story short, my kid, if I have one at the rate I'm going, probably not, thank the Lord, would definitely, I think, although I might do, like, my dad, I found out, didn't get circumcised till he was 12. Yeah, well, this is rural Oklahoma in the 1940s. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of doctors coming away with scalpels going, let me have your kid's cock in my hand.
I think a lot of uncircumcised American kids are very self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
That's the downside.
Well, I think the same thing probably for Europe, right? I mean,
I don't know. Well, if it's the norm there.
No, uncircumcised is the norm in Europe.
Find that so much in, like, say, Hispanic communities. Like, it's a very Catholic thing not to circumcise.
Right.
And it's not a big deal. And actually, I've had many, like, debates over this issue over the years. Because, and you can always tell when somebody's not, because they're like, well, I've heard that it's better, you know?
Yeah.
I think that if you are, like, a white Anglo-Saxon type person, then I think, yeah, it's more of a...
I haven't really had the surprise one yet. It's only been strictly with me, with Europeans and Mexicans.
I hope that you get a surprise.
You guys laugh because Mexican is like a dirty word to you, but I'm being factual.
I hope you get a surprise white Russian cock someday. You know, just like he paints a little clown hat on it, so when he pulls it out, it's like, da-da-da-da-da-da, foreskin. It'd be great. So what did we learn tonight, people? We've learned that Kyle MCDC...
We've learned a lot.
We've learned a hell of a lot. We've learned about foreskin, circumcision. We've learned about how Kyle MCDC and I are paragons. Paragons of male virility, I think.
Yeah.
We're pretty manly. We don't need Kiss My Fist to be around to be manly anymore. Uh-uh. We've got each other.
Uh-uh.
That's getting...
She can go grow a vagina for all I care.
Exactly. She can go ovulate. That's what...
Yeah.
Yeah, take that, Kiss My Fist.
Uh-huh. She can expel eggs from her body in a bloody mess. If I give a shit.
Yeah, you know what I can do? I can fall asleep after sex because I don't care. No, that would be embarrassing. What else did we learn? We learned that the ladies here have mixed opinions about penile appearance. We learned that George Bush doesn't need to ask permission to go to the bathroom. We've learned that...
he sits down to pee.
Oh, he does... But I think what we've learned most of all is that theme party is coming to an end. And that we'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Wait, hang on. That may not be true. I believe it. No.
Are we being preempted?
Well, I believe that we are not. I believe we have an episode next week. And the answer to that question is we do. Next week on the 23rd of September, we will be back with an all-new episode of Theme Party. We will be announcing more details about it as the time comes. Like I said, I want you to send us an email at themeparty@gmail.com. I would also like you to consider... going to ostrichink.com, www.ostrichink.com. Ostrichink is a sibling publication to Theme Party. It's the LA's best humor writing, and you'll find some really amazing writers there, people that one day you will maybe talk about in passing conversation because they're famous, I would like to think.
Maybe.
Anyway, we'd like to thank you for sticking around, and we are going to leave you with one final song tonight, and that song... Oh, there it is.
Whoop, there it is.
No. Hang on, where did it go? I should have had this plan before I opened up the CDs up, motherfucker. Right.
Oh, Ross, how did you like that Michael McDonald dig in 40-Year-Old Virgin?
It was hilarious. It's like, if I have to hear Yama, I'll be there one more time, I'm going to Yama, I'll be there.
They work at a terrible Circuit City ripoff in the movie, and they have to play the Michael McDonald DVD on repeat. Which struck a chord for me because I used to work at Circuit City, which this movie is obviously drawing from.
Right on.
And I, unfortunately, worked there the summer of Divas Live, and it was terrible.
The summer of what?
Divas Live.
Oh, God. Dear Lord. Oh, my God. Yeah. I want to talk about... I think I want to close, by the way, in honor of our most recent conversation. The next song is dedicated to... the idea that one would undergo circumcision when you're old enough to remember having it done to you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Theme Party, and this song sums up my feelings on that. Tune in next week. Good night.